Welcome everyone to this week's edition of the Bombcast Post Adelaide Blooper Reel Edition. I am your regular co-host, The Grizz, and with me today is not our other regular co-host, Bonta, but rather, I would say a friend of the show, a man who's been on the show a few times now, board favourite, Dero. How are you, mate?
Very well. Very good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, always good to have a friend on the podcast, and I wish I could bring you on a better week, mate, because it's been a rough fortnight. We didn't have a pod before after the Melbourne game, just life circumstances, but we followed up an absolute bludger of a game against Melbourne where for the 70th game in a row, we've failed to adjust to wet weather conditions. To lose a game, I feel like in the complete opposite fashion, in an absolute shootout against Adelaide at Marvel. That was a heartbreaker, I reckon. That might be one of the toughest losses I've ever had to watch in my life.
I think a few people are saying that, Grizz. We definitely should have won it. We definitely had our chances to win it, and we definitely let Adelaide off the chain, I think.
Yeah, it was. I can't think of a game that had more violent momentum swings in it than at least this season, at least to my memory. Like it was, we were 3-0 up, and then I think it was, you know, 7 straight and 9 goals to 4 in the second quarter. Then we come back and kick 8-2 in the third. And that fourth quarter, considering the rest of the game, was relatively low scoring. It was only, you know, 2-4, but I can't sort of explain the difference in not just the two sides, but just Essendon from quarters, you know, 1 and 3 to 2 and 4. It was almost bizarre. You know, Adelaide, I think, lost 3 different players over the course of the game. They're down to basically, you know, no key defenders. Nick Murray and Jordan Butts both went out of the game, and it was just such a heartbreaking loss, and lose it in the last minute like we did. Where do you think it went wrong, Dero? If you could pinpoint last Friday night to anything, what would it be?
Look, I'm really concerned about our defence, not just our midfield defence, but our defenders. When the ball hits the deck, we're in trouble. And I'll tell you what, big Mackay will want to mark it, because if he doesn't, he's in strife, and he was exposed, I think. I was watching it, and I think he might have had about 10 contested possessions up to halftime, which is a lot for a big fella like him, but I don't know how many of them were good contested possessions, because he seemed to turn it over a bit. I don't know. Like they seem to be able to transition so freely from one end of the ground to the other, and there was that goal they kicked within 15 seconds from end to end, and you know, it's almost like we didn't, you know, there was no pressure. I couldn't understand how that happened. And that seemed to go for a quarter. And then all of a sudden we bounced back and, you know, we were ferocious. So I don't know. It was a really strange game. Like you said, it definitely had its ups and downs. But for me, I think it's a lack of defense. And I think they were able to get the ball through from one end too easily. And then, you know, we allowed them to get back into the game after we, you know, we got to about 2 or 3 goals up in the last quarter as well. One of the worst losses ever, and hopefully we don't see too many more like it.
Yeah, so Adelaide scored 62 points from clearance. To give you some context, I think the league average is like 4 goals. So they scored almost more than double what the average team will score from clearance on last Friday night, which sort of tells you exactly what you're saying, that as soon as Adelaide got their hands on the ball, it was sort of what there was little to no resistance for going forward. And there were, I think Ben Mackay's, you know, I don't know how you get to that level of AFL football without having the basic handballing skill down. And he wasn't Robinson Crusoe there. Jake Kelly had a couple. I thought Jordan Ridley had some uncharacteristic sort of fumbles. Nick Cox, you know, for all his skill, he can't left-hand handball to save his life. Like, it's sort of bizarre in that sense. But for me, I'm with you. The lack of pressure on the ball, you just can't concede 10 goals from stoppage. And on top of that, they scored 80 points from forward half chains. So what that basically means is if they turn the ball over or they get the ball for the first time, either from a stoppage or from turnover in their forward half. So generally speaking, if you turn the ball over in your back half, you're set up defensively generally. You're dunking out of defense or you're set up, you know, behind the ball and from stoppage. For them to kick close to 80 points from forward half chains is not impossible unless you're basically playing, like, you know, running as a Bulls type defense with your the Spanish jacket and a red blanket. Like, it's just sort of bizarre. And it wasn't the young guys. There were points where Merritt and Caldwell were just sort of letting them run through the middle of the field, guarding space, and they just torched us.
They certainly did. Oh, I wonder, Grizz, are we a bit susceptible to teams that play us one-on-one, man-on-man?
I think well? So.
It's interesting. And then they get us on the rebound. So they get the ball off us because they force us, they stifle us, and then you know, they rebound. We like to run forward of the ball a bit as well, and we get caught out a little bit. And I think there was a little bit of that going on against Adelaide as well. But, yeah, it definitely ties in with your point there. I mean, I don't know, how do we – these next four or five games are pivotal, and at the end of the season, you know, we've either improved or we haven't, and we really need to win these games. And there's some pretty big issues that are being exposed at the moment. So look, hopefully they can turn it around. But I'd hate to get to the end of this year having, you know, just missed out on finals again, because really, you'd have to say we haven't improved. And everything 3 or 4 weeks ago, everything was bright and rosy, and you know, we're going to play finals, and you know, we could make the four, and yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, I just to your point, you don't know how to fix it. We play this really tight forward press that once they get over the back of, and nothing was more glaring than what you said before, like that 15-second goal from the back pocket. Once they got it over the back of that press, we just had nothing, you know, the back half of the field to defend. But I think teams have worked this out. You know, if you just don't go by the press and you just go, all right, we're going to go man on man across the field, and we'll back ourselves to win a contested possession 1v1, or we'll back someone to make the best of you cheating out the front of the stoppage, like you mentioned. You know, we're getting cut up, and I said at the start of the year 9 wins was my par. We're at 10, but I think you're right. If we don't make finals from here, you've got to adjust your goals on the fly. And coming out of the bye, what were we, like 8-3-1 or 8-4-1? To be, you know, what are we, you know, close to, you know, to we've won, you know, 2 games since the bye. One was against West Coast at home, which wasn't at all comforting or a strong performance, and then against Collingwood, which we thought was a good win, but you know, they just got trounced by 10 goals by Hawthorn. So was it a good win? Like, I don't even know. There's a stink of the last half of last year about this, and that's the one thing for me, Dara, that can't happen. I'm less worried about making the finals. I think we need to win 3 of the next, I think, 5 games to guarantee ourselves finals because of our percentage. I don't know if we're going to win 3 of those games. When you look at, I think it's St Kilda, Gold Coast, who, you know, it's Gold Coast in at Marvel, and they don't historically travel well, but either did Adelaide until they played us. You got Fremantle, who are top 4, Sydney, who are top 1, and then Brisbane, who are coming with a bullet. So where's your 3 wins coming from? I don't know if finals is the par from here, but if we go out like we did in the back half of last year, and it's, you know, 5 losses, all of them about average of 5 or 6 goal margin or more, I think, you know, there's some serious answers that need to be provided by the footy club.
Correct. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. In fact, I've been thinking exactly along the same lines. I mean, really, we've had a better run with injuries this year as well. Yeah. Much better, and we haven't been convincing. As you said, the West Coast game, there's been a few others, you know. Yeah, we've had a couple of reasonable scalps along the way. We've picked a couple of teams off when they've been a little bit out of form, the Bulldogs, maybe GWS, but I don't know. We haven't had any wins to. We've had some pretty solid wins, but nothing that makes me sit up or stand up and say, you know, that was a great win. We're really a much better side now. I'm looking at it all. Earlier on, I was getting seduced by some of the early season form, but now looking back, I don't know. And I guess the next four or five games will be telling. If we win the three, like you say, well, then we can probably look back and say, well, we're much improved. But then if we don't, well, really, we've had a pretty similar season to last year. So it's not great.
And it's a similar season to last year. And you can't even say that we've advanced in terms of like getting younger. So in the sense that we'll get to the changes this week's game that came. So for those who are just for those at home, we're recording just shy 9 o'clock on a Thursday night, the 25th of July. The teams are out. You know, Sartis and Hobbs and Hayes and the Davey twins and all these young players that we're hoping to at least get a glimpse of this season have spent most of the year either in and out of the team on fringe roles or in the VFL. I'm not entirely sure we know anything more about these young players than we did this time last year, which just can't be the case. Like Brad Scott came in here saying we're going to get younger. This is a long-term plan. Yet it doesn't seem like that is the goal holistically. It seems like we're really bent on just winning as many games as we can, and we're picking older players who are out of form. We're changing in and out of structure. It's two rucks, it's one ruck, it's one and a half rucks with Peter Wright. It doesn't seem like we're playing to develop. We're playing to hang on and scrounge into where we can. And for me, I was happy to eat 9 wins at the start of the year on the basis that we got, you know, 15 games into Zach Reed and 20 games as a midfielder into Ben Hobbs and 15 games into Elijah Sardis and seeing what the Davey twins have and all the rest of it. And it looks like we're going to maybe limp to the finals and won't be any the wiser about these younger guys. Like, the wins and losses don't really matter to me because I don't think we're any chance of doing anything serious, but I don't feel like we're picking a path either. We're sort of just straddling this middle ground that Essendon's made a nice home in for the last 20 years.
We're not really seeing the green shoots, are we? The young players aren't really setting the world on fire. I mean, I'm hopeful every time we pull in a new player, and you know, some of these guys have been on the list for long enough to be showing us a bit more. And unfortunately, we've got a few others. You know, Archie Perkins is probably a good example who. He's been solid, I guess, but we'd hope for a little bit more out of him. Cox has shown glimpses as well, but again, you'd probably like to see a bit more out of him consistently, I think, as well. Unfortunately, Reed. Sardis has been a bit of a disappointment. You know, the Davey boys, you know, like Hobbs is another, you know, like a lot of these young fellas haven't really kicked on. And we have had some more experienced players who seem to be going pretty well, but you know, I think if we're gonna, you know, improve and match it with teams like Sydney and others, these younger players really need to start taking the next step. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder if they're just a lesson in what Hawthorn's done, which is they've eaten 18 months of poor football, but the younger guys who they just sort of blooded are starting to come through now, and they're just so exciting. And it pains me to say, right, because it's Hawthorn, and you should never compliment Hawthorn just as a general rule. But I just wonder if, you know, Perkins is suffering because he's not really in the midfield mix, but he's also, I have this theory with Perkins that we're misusing him as a mid. What we should be using him as is almost like the Stringer role. Like if we move Stringer on at the end of the year and put Archie Perkins in as a medium forward, I think that would actually suit him better, just as that explosive marking type. And it would suck to lose Jake, but are we winning a premiership with Jake in the next 3 years while he's going to be a useful footballer? Probably not. You know, Jai Menzies and is young enough that, you know, guys like... we might as well get to the changes now. So... St Kilda up this week. St Kilda had a really good win on the weekend. beat the snot out of West Coast, but, you know, it's West Coast in Melbourne, so take with that what you will. The changes are in, so in comes Peter Wright, Dyson Heppel, and Darcy Parrish, and we'll get to Darcy in a second. Out Jake Kelly, who was injured, McWelfy injured, and McWelfy's a big loss. Like, he's probably the one genuine pressure forward we have. And Todd Goldstein, one of the most obvious omissions I can think of in a long while. We'll get to Darcy Parrish in a second. What are your views of the changes generally?
Oh, look, I'm a Darcy Parrish fan, but I think he probably needs a week or two in the reserves to get a bit of match fitness before he comes in. I mean, he missed out last week, so yeah, I'm a bit surprised about that one. And I actually heard that he was going to come back through the reserve. So anyway, I think we should have kept Peter Wright in last week, and I don't think we should have had Goldstein in. And look, I think Heppel's a bit of a general down back. I think, you know, he has a lot to do with the organisation down there. Yeah, he's had a couple of down weeks, but overall this year he's been reasonably solid if you take out the last couple of games. So I can understand those ones. I'm a bit surprised that Hobbs isn't getting more of a go.
Yeah.
He's been pretty solid in the reserves, I believe. And I think Archie Roberts, who's listed as an emergency, I mean, he's just about, surely he's due for a run soon somewhere, you know, off the bench. Or, I mean, you've got guys like Jai Menzies in the side. Surely Archie Roberts can, actually, that's the other one. Archie's still in there, isn't he?
Well, it's interesting because I wonder. So my view on the changes is I understand the logic of the positional changes. I don't agree with the personnel. So if I can put it this way, Goldstein was completely ineffectual as a forward last week, and that's fine. He's not in the team to be a forward, but we can't carry a guy playing 40% ruck and not absolutely dominating the ruck when he's in there. He was maybe break even. Peter, I've been banging this drum for. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard me banging this drum on the podcast there. I've been banging this drum that Peter Wright, we just need to stop looking at Peter Wright as a number one forward or even a number two forward. He's a second ruck that gives you three to four goals a fortnight and can chop out in the ruck. And if you look at him like that, which considering what we paid in a trade to get him is good value, all of a sudden it's just a lot more palatable. If you're expecting him to kick 50 goals a season, you're going to be disappointed. I like the balance better with him over Goldstein, but I'm not sure I like Stringer, Caddy, Wright, Cox, Langford, and Jones all in the one team. Sure. So that's a
good point, isn't it? I mean,
we're such a big, slow team, and on a fast deck like Marvel, I really worry about it. But I even see why they brought Parrish in, because when we lost Caldwell in that fourth quarter, we were forced to throw, you know, Perkins and Stringer and, you know, other sort of Martin into the center bounce, and they were just getting absolutely torched defensively. I reckon there was about four center bounce clearances or stoppage clearances in a row where I think it was Barry from Adelaide, who was, you know, Archie Perkins or Stringer's direct opponent, who just got the just burned them defensively. They got caught ball watching, and, you know, like I said, 60 points from clearance. Like, I think bringing in the extra mid makes sense, but that mid should have been Ben Hobbs or Elijah Sardis. I don't think it should have been Parrish. And you and I might be Parrish's two biggest advocates on the board. Like, you, I don't think anyone's gone to bat for Darcy Parrish more than you and I have. And you and I are both saying, man, I'm not sure he should be there before Hobbs and Sardis. And that goes to my point that I was saying before of, well, if we're not going to blood the young kids, what's this season for if we're not going to achieve anything? Like, I get Heppel. I feel like, and I'm sorry I'm rambling a little bit, but I feel like we lost our heads in the back line in that second quarter. Maybe Heppel makes a difference. But, yeah, just weird changes for mine.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I thought that last week as well when Wright went out and Goldstein came in. I couldn't understand that one. I think you were probably on the same page there as well. I think I might have read you commenting something similar. But, you know, there's been a few this year that have surprised me, you know, and, well, let's just, I don't know. I mean, there's obviously a reason behind it. Maybe we have had a bit of trouble with, you know, getting down that having marking targets down those wings. And I think maybe that's why Cox and Harry Jones are getting a go in there. So they're not really playing as forwards per se, but what are they doing defensively, you know, coming back? That's it. Yeah.
Well, you were talking before about just there not being any heat on the ball. That part of the reason, I think, is we're just so tall. Like, the ball hits the deck and, you know, you got a lot of taller guys chasing them. If we're not marking it, and when we do mark it, we look great, but when we don't, yikes.
Yeah.
And we're playing a team in St Kilda who is one of the worst clearance teams in the competition. So dead last in the centre clearances, and I think they're bottom five or no, so the bottom half in total clearances. But they're, you know, top five in contested possession, and they're top four, in tackles inside 50. So when the ball hits the deck, that is St Kilda's one wood. And they have no trouble transitioning the ball forward from defence to forward line. But where they struggle is they don't convert into scores. I think they're almost their third last, or basically equal with West Coast, for turning an inside 50 into a score. So, you know, St Kilda will back themselves to, look, if we can just get the ball to hit the deck, you know, we're good enough to get, you know, the Bombers on the rebound here.
Yeah. I agree. Well, is Matthias Philippou, this is the game within the game for mine, whether he plays and plays well or doesn't, I'll be keeping an eye on him.
I think he's injured. I think he injured himself last week, which is probably good, because all the Philippou versus Sartis debate can just die down for a week maybe. Anyway, so I suppose, you know, if we're going to win this game, Derek, how do you think we win it? How do you think this team, the way it's constructed, is best place to beat St Kilda?
Well, St Kilda, obviously a pretty good defensive team. I think we've brought Wright back in, and we've got some tall targets. So I guess we're gonna have to mark inside 50 and kick well. I'm not happy with our, and we've lost Guelphy, and I'm not really happy with our little forwards at the moment. So we might have a bit of trouble if we. So I'm hopeful that we beat them in the midfield and we get some pretty good delivery into the forward line, and Langford pops up and kicks a few right, recaptures a bit of form, and, you know, you never know, Cox kicks a couple again or someone like that, and we might be on. But I don't know. They might be tough to score against St Kilda. We'll see. There we go.
I think, you know, this game will come down to whoever controls the air. So like I said, we're top four, I think, we're top four in marks, and we're top five in marks inside 50. And, you know, St Kilda, top, half of the league in intercepts, and their pressure's really good. So I suppose this game's going to get decided by how often the ball hits the deck, if I can put it that bluntly, particularly on a really fast deck like Marvel. If Essendon can take the advantage that they have in height and mark the ball going, and St Kilda's defence isn't very tall, like Stugel Howe, Josh Baddon, Cal Wilkie, like they're not a big team defensively, but it'll be one of those games where if they can stop us from taking turning marks in top 50, they're going to walk the ball out, and let's hope our pressure is better than it was against St Kilda. I suppose we've only got a couple of minutes left, so Darren, I'm going to ask you, who do you think wins, and what do you think is a crazy prediction that might happen this weekend?
A crazy prediction? I reckon Mackay will bounce back with eight intercept marks and five handballs that hit the target. And
would be.
Look, I'm hopeful that we win. I really am, but I am worried. So it's a hard one. But yeah, we should win. But I'm not confident that we will
win. Oh dear. I tend to think the Machiavellian in me would love to see us lose, just to see if that would force the hand of maybe going a bit younger at the selection table. It is Brad Scott, so you don't know. He has a history of sticking with the senior guys. But I think we will win. I think it's going to be a really uncomfortable game. It'll be one of those, you know, 70 to 65 type score lines where no one is comfortable for the entire match. But I think we win. And my weird prediction is I think only one player in the entire game kicks multiple goals. That's a really sort of weird prediction, but I think only one player from both teams, so it's one player total, will kick multiple goals in the game. So, Darrow, thank you for joining me again tonight. It was great to have you on.
Pleasure.
No worries. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you for your understanding for not being on last week. But as always, make sure you like, subscribe, and tell your friends, and go Bombers.